This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our next story.
The government wants to help make marriages stronger. Hannah Yeo, Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, proposed a voluntary online compatibility quiz that will be accessible to singles as well as young couples before they get married.
With emphasis on the voluntary, because when it was first announced, I think there was some misunderstanding, which YB Hannah also kind of took to Facebook to clear up later, that people thought the government was now forcing you to take a test to see if you could get married, which is definitely not the case. So she said in Parliament that divorce rates are high for those between 30 to 34 years old. Many seem to rush into marriages before getting to know themselves or their partners well enough. And one third of women cited misunderstanding as grounds for divorce. And then after that, you have reasons like infidelity and irresponsible spouses.
Half of the men similarly cited misunderstanding as a key reason, followed by interference by in-laws and infidelity.
I think there was a lot of, as there always is, I think, whenever someone from the government comes up with a slightly less weighty idea. Now, I'm not saying that marriage isn't important or that families aren't important, but I think on the surface of it, the headline reads compatibility test. And then people go, oh, this is just kind of a lightweight thing. And
this is a marriage certificate. A test for a marriage cert.
Well, I mean, whenever someone from the government brings up sort of a lighter policy adjacent thing, people tend to start getting up in arms over, why are you doing this? There are better things you could be spending your time on. And in this case, I don't think it's a bad idea in and of itself, but I also think it's a bit of a lightweight idea.
It is, and partially because I'm not sure how effective personality tests are necessarily.
Compatibility tests.
Well, yeah, but if this is also part of trying to figure out who you are as a person, who your potential spouse is as a person, it is and will have some elements of trying to figure out who you are as a person. So I'm never sure if they're really effective. I'm never sure if they're just a reflection of your mood at the very point in time or your personhood. So in terms of it being a solution, not the strongest idea, but it is a great way to get to having a conversation with your partner as to what you want out of the relationship, what you want out of the other person, and your wishes for and plans for the future.
I think that's exactly it. So as a conversation prompt, it's great.
Yeah.
I think that's the crucial thing here. You know, it's not meant to be a make or break thing. I don't think it should be viewed as a step towards the government making it compulsory or forcing you to do things where your relationship is really your personal life. But I think as a prompt, you know, just to see, hey, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you good? You know, and to see whether you need to maybe seek help from couples counselors, from people who are qualified to do that sort of thing before stepping into a big commitment. I think that's fine. It's sort of an investment in your relationship almost, or like a prompt to do so. But again, it is, and I think YB Hannah has said this as well, just one of many other tools that will be, you know, used. Because if it were a standalone, then, you know, we are facing another black shoe situation.
Yeah, and in this situation, it's making this tool available for people who may not be able to afford marriage counselors, for example, and at least have some form of way to getting that conversation started.
Yeah, for sure. So would you take this compatibility test? Do you think that a government-sanctioned compatibility test will lead you to ask deeper questions about your relationship? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be speaking after this with counselling psychologist and relationship counsellor Sharon Kaur to understand actually how do professionals do it? How do they assess compatibility and talk couples through all of this? So that will be coming your way after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:14 in the evening, you're listening to Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about compatibility tests, one that would be issued by the government to kind of try and help deal with the rising divorce rates in the country. So I would like to know, would you want to take this test? You can tell us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to counselling psychologist and relationship counsellor Sharon Kaur. Sharon, thanks for joining us today. So when you meet couples who are looking to get married, what kind of questions do you get asked?
Well, firstly, as a relationship counsellor, I don't see that many pre-marriage couples. I see a lot of young couples in crisis, which sort of indicates that they would have done better if they did have some pre-marriage counselling or some sort of compatibility, using that word. Many of these issues are communication styles that just don't match. Many of the issues involve things that they used to like but no longer like. For example, I fell in love with you because you were sensitive and now you're overly emotional and I don't know how to handle that. Or I fell in love with you because I saw the confidence but now I see aggression. So these are perceptions, and young couples don't know how to handle this. So if you look at a compatibility test, more important is for it to be a talking point rather than any form of tool towards the outcome of a marriage.
So if this test is used as a talking point, like you just mentioned, what can it actually achieve? Can it be used as a way to take a comprehensive look at a relationship?
Of course, it will highlight some fundamental things, such as your approach to financial matters, such as your future vision for yourself, you know, life philosophy, even social expectations. The involvement of your family of origin. So yes, all these things can be addressed by the compatibility test. But I would ask a very simple question. Would a couple actually break up because the compatibility test suggests a negative outcome? At the time that they want to get married, they're all starry-eyed. They're all, you know, in love, and it's maybe a little bit too idealistic for us to think that a compatibility test would put perspective into that.
So overall then, are compatibility tests actually common practices or tools used in marriage therapy?
Generally, no. I think generally if a couple or a person asks for it, they actually request for some sort of personality test, which is what the compatibility test would largely consist of, personality styles and traits. So generally, I would say no, that's not the first thing that we would jump to. I mean, more important is, I think, to address their concerns, to address subjectively what the issues they have which they are unable to resolve.
And what do these compatibility tests stem from in terms of theory?
I think most of these tests start off from personality traits, which have its origins, you know, for over many, many, many years, decades, in fact. So whether, you know, you are determining whether you are an introvert or an extrovert, or whether you are a cognitive person or an emotive person, these are all personality traits which can then be extrapolated into finer breakdowns, which will help you determine some compatibility. So yes, it has very good basis, but it can vary so much that at the end of the day, we may not know what the outcome is going to give us. And don't forget, there are many, many, and I mean hundreds of tests out there. So I think choosing the right one, the accurate one, the appropriate one, the culturally appropriate one might be a big task.
Fair enough. So if we were to put compatibility tests aside for the moment, what are some good markers to look at in your own relationship to see whether or not marriage is the right next step for you as a couple?
The first and foremost is I would like to see some like-mindedness in both parties. So they have similar approaches to some fundamental things. Now, I'd also like to note that it's not necessary that you must be on the same page on something. Being able to appreciate, understand, respect that the other person has a completely different approach is equally important. So it's okay if one party actually doesn't really want to involve the family of origin and one party does, as long as they are able to accept and respect. You know, they might be able to put some boundaries to a certain extent. So to me, the fundamental factor is to have that like-mindedness on some of the fundamental issues. The second thing is, of course, communication. Every couple that I see that is in trouble will generalize and say, you know, we don't communicate, communication breakdown. But it's such a general term. It's such an overriding term. It needs to be broken down. It needs to be, we need to isolate exactly where the problem is, where the ball has dropped, and then start addressing some of these issues. The other few factors is how you see things on a financial matter, because the reality is there is a lot of strain, tremendous amount of strain on the sustainability and maintenance of a family financially. So yes, if one person is overly frugal and the other party is overly spendthrift, you are going to have conflict. And it's probably a conflict that's going to be very difficult to resolve. I don't say it's impossible, but probably a little bit more difficult, where we need to find a happy medium, we need to find a compromise that works for both parties. The other thing that I noticed in many of the troubled marriages is social expectations. Some parties in the marriage still expect to be equally involved with their friends as they were before. So either they expect their partners to be part of their social circle, or they expect their partners to understand when they are out with a bunch of friends. I think that's one thing that really causes a fair amount of trouble in marriages. So yeah, to me, these are some of the fundamental things that that the couples need to look at.
You talked about couples being starry-eyed at the start of their marriage before, but as we transition to middle age, we go through a number of life changes in our late 20s and early 30s. For example, with our careers, income, living situations. How do these direct external factors impact marriage, especially one that started at a younger age?
Early on in the marriage, there's so much focus on the couple, on the relationship. Both partners are very sensitive, very aware of how the other person is feeling, and they want to know what the other person is thinking, etc. As time passes, as the kids come along, as you are looking at wealth accumulation, as you are looking at career opportunities and challenges, inevitably there is less and less time and less focus on the couple itself, because now your focus is literally diluted with so many of these other things. I always ask my clients, my couple clients, to make time to sit down to check in on how they are doing as a couple. So inevitably, you are going to get affected by environmental factors, surrounding factors. We cannot escape that. But if we take the relationship for granted, then these things will cause deterioration, will cause problems. But if we are aware that these things can cause problems and therefore do something about it, I think we're on a very good path.
So YB Hanna also said in her statement that the family institution is the cornerstone of a nation. Is the family institution under threat, in your opinion, you know, that it deserves time in Parliament and the attention of lawmakers?
Sadly, I do think many families are in crisis. Even though our divorce rate may be between 3 to 4%, the divorce rate does not take into account families in trouble. They do not take account people that are who stay married unhappily. I think couples are struggling to find a work-life balance. It's difficult in this day and age, in the urban reality, that simple things like traffic, like not having any flexi time in your work hours. It's these simple things that literally create huge impact on couples who are trying to make a go at it. They have all the necessary factors, sufficient love, sufficient care, sufficient need to stay together. And yet, many of these factors can affect them. So do I think Parliament should get involved? I think Parliament should consider, you know, supporting and helping families in so many different ways so that they can flourish, make it a little bit easier for them. For example, again, childcare. For example, the flexi time, you know, being able to work remotely. Maybe these things would help them achieve a better work-life balance. If I remember correctly, more than 10 years ago, the ministry had come up with a pre-marriage counseling module and even a course. I think that needs to be looked at again. It was quite comprehensive. I think it was a good course, but I don't think it reached the right people, and I don't think it went to the levels that it needed to go. So maybe, I mean, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Maybe that can be something that is looked at or reconsidered. Also, I would just lastly like to say that it's not a bad thing to seek help when a relationship is in trouble. Don't wait till it's way past normal situation.
Sharon, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was counselling psychologist and relationship counsellor Sharon Kaur. And we've been asking you whether or not you would take this compatibility test. And I suppose we should answer that ourselves. I totally would, just because I think it would be pretty fun.
Yeah. Just
also to see what the government prioritises. And I think that there is something about the objective nature of a test where it just, you know, straight up tells you, ooh, this sounds like a bad idea, that maybe your nearest and dearest will not be able to actually verbalize.
Well, I'm not sure how objective it'll be and how necessarily compared to love tests, like say the ones that NYT, the New York Times runs,
ooh,
for example,
yes.
The love language test,
yes.
Which is really fun to take. So even if you're not in a relationship, it's just worth taking the time to just try it out.
So, the messages have been coming in. Stefan says, the ultimate test if you click with your future spouse, a 2-week vacation. And there is some truth in that, I will say.
Well, our producer Tasha just said it's like a 2-week boot camp for relationships. So I think that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's a good time to see whether you are the same sort of traveller. And then we also have this message that's come through from Kevin saying yes to the marriage compatibility test, depending on the content. You know, we learn about STEM. We never learn to be a husband or a wife. Things we should talk about before marriage, how to manage finances, kids, what if we can't get pregnant? Are we open to adoption? How to handle in-laws, expectations of sex and intimacy, expectations of one another, and so on.
Yeah, that's all very fantastic. And it's also the fact that if those discussions are very hard to take, it might be worth considering having a mediator in place to have those discussions. You know, sometimes communication isn't all of our strong skills.
Janie is weighing in on both stories, both the issue of the compatibility test as well as representation, saying yes and yes, who better qualified to represent the LGBTQ community than one of their own? And compatibility tests bring up sensitive and pertinent issues that couples often avoid and overlook. Hear, hear. And then we have this from Dr. Nizamani.
I think that it won't be of much help because the test might be conducted in an ideal situation. Moreover, I believe that life is a compromise. So if the couple is not mature enough or their attitude towards life is not compromising, then for sure this test is not going to help much.
I suppose it's also about how honestly you're answering things and how honestly you are able to anticipate being the need for change,
yeah.
I think, which is what Dr. Nizamani is saying.
It's also a point that you might not consider even taking the test if you're in a bad place in a relationship.
And then Ming Ji is saying, maybe a compatibility test with the in-laws needs to be done as well. Since divorce will involve splitting up assets, maybe mandating full disclosure on net worth, cash flow, financial status to your partner, financial checks and financial consultants prior to marriage also sounds more realistic and plausible. And then we also have, well, someone who just says, I totally won't. And Belle, who says, staying together for 3 to 6 months will tell you everything you need to know about one another. You can love someone so much, but not bear living together even for a week. So a variety of responses. We are, in the meantime, going to be headed to the 7:30 news and then skip intro. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.